This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the ASOS podcast, My Big Idea. Today, we're going to be talking to Jade Golding, who owns The Little Deer. It's a website that she runs herself. She's going to be telling us all about why she set it up, how she set it up, what the challenges are, and what's amazing about being your own boss. So if you're interested in some inspiration to kickstart your own big idea, listen on. Hi, and today we're joined by Jade from The Little Deer. So hi, Jade, and
Hello.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Jade, do you want to start off by telling us what The Little Deer is for those people that haven't discovered it yet?
Okay, so The Little Deer is an online-based shop. We support independent designers. We sell lots of different things from fashion to accessories to homewares to stationery, and we've actually just launched our own collection as well, so we're selling that.
And is that the interiors collection?
Yes, the copper interiors
with a copper clothing rail.
Yes,
which I saw
I know,
today.
It's lovely and we love it.
I think ASOS could do some of those, and the ASOS fashion cupboard would be great. So how long ago did you set up The Little Deer?
Do you know, it was a long time ago, really. It was while I was at university.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's probably 5 or 6 years ago now. But really, properly sort of concentrating on Little Deer, probably for about 2 years.
Okay.
Two or three years.
When you were doing it at university, sort of like what inspired you to get it started?
Well, I've always worked for small brands, and there was a brand I was working for at the time, and I think there was lots of things that I was frustrated with that I felt like they could be doing better. It was actually my dad that suggested to me that I started off by doing something myself. And that's where the internet's great, because you can kind of set something up that's tiny and then just sort of let it grow slowly over time. And I was kind of doing it in my spare time.
Right.
So that was really where it began.
And how did that work, like doing it in your spare time? Was it sort of, did it mean a hell of a lot of extra work, or actually was it sort of quite manageable at the sort of start?
It was relatively manageable, but because I love Little Deer so much, there was sort of a situation where I would definitely work into the wee hours of the morning on it, when maybe I should have been working on the university things. But There was never a time where I thought, oh, this is too much, because I wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, at that time it was a hobby, so I was doing it because I loved it.
And so when you finished university, obviously The Little Deer is like up and running. Did you ever take on like a proper full-time job at all before switching into just doing The Little Deer?
I tried to keep it to part-time jobs mainly.
Right.
As soon as I left uni, I got a part-time job. And sort of began the sort of Little Deer journey, really, trying to build it up.
Yeah.
I think from that point, I never had a full-time job off the top of my head. I think it was always sort of part-time.
And were those part-time jobs sort of in retail, sort of similar to The Little Deer, or was
it
totally
different?
Yeah,
they were. Mainly in retail, just because it meant that I could also learn from people around me while I was in those part-time jobs. I think if I'd have been doing something like waitressing, which I was doing while I was at uni, I maybe wouldn't have benefited as much. So tried to keep it to retail mainly.
Smart move. And because I was going to say, like, when you're on the site, and if you haven't been on, for everyone that's listening, The Little Deer is, it's really cute. It's
thank you very much.
And the photography really stood out. Now, I've read a little bit, and you obviously did your degree in photography.
I did,
so that must have really helped.
It did, yeah.
What were the other things that you sort of already could do, or you know, that you've then been able to apply to making The Little Deer a success?
I think definitely going back to my background in retail, I did actually work in retail from about the age of 14, 15. I worked in a streetwear store before I went to uni, and then I worked in different stores while I was at university. So there was definitely things like customer service definitely came from there. And then also, as I mentioned, I worked for a few sort of small companies, retail stores, and working so close alongside people who run their own business was really beneficial to me. Yeah, I think so, definitely. Definitely inspired me, and I definitely picked up a few things from those people.
And when you say, like, it inspired you, was it because they sort of were able to be in control of their own kind of business? Was it the control thing that was inspiring, or was
definitely it, I think I definitely like to be in control, especially when it comes to my job. I like to sort of know what I'm doing and be kind of in control. That was probably mainly it. And also, I think it's funny, people who run their own business, I'm talking about mainly run their own retail store, they work really, really hard, really, really long hours, but with that comes an element of freedom, I think, to kind of choose your own hours. And I like that. I like the freedom that comes with the hard work.
So hard work. So has it, and you talked about, like, you know, staying up till, like, you know, the middle of the night doing things. What's been your, like, your biggest challenge, sort of, and what's required the most kind of, like, long hours?
Good question. I think the biggest challenge actually is knowing when to stop and when to take a break.
Okay.
It's so important. And, you know, my mum always says this to me, take a break. And she's right. It's so true that, you know, when you love something so much and you just want to keep going and going and going, actually sometimes to pause for a while and then come back to it is so, so beneficial. So that's probably been the biggest challenge, to kind of force myself to sort of take time off and have a break. Because
so what happens when you do take time off? Like, does somebody else look after the shop for you?
Up until recently, we'd just kind of put a thing on the website saying, you know, away for a while, when it was a little bit smaller. Now I have a friend who comes in and sort of packs orders for me. But it is a tricky one. The last sort of week I took off was around Christmas, just after Christmas, which was the ideal time, because it's kind of when there's lots of bank holidays and no one really knows what's going on between Christmas and New Year. So
madness.
But I do have to plan it well.
And so, like, on a day-to-day basis, what's it like? So tell me a little bit, like, your average day, if there is an average day for you.
It's very varied, but the sort of average day, so I have a studio that's about a half an hour cycle from my house.
Nice.
So I cycle there, which is lovely because it's in Brighton along the seafront. So that's,
that's
as long
amazing.
As it's nice weather, that's a really nice cycle. And then get to the studio and normally spend the first couple of hours sorting admin things on the computer. And then I sort of get to making the interiors that we previously mentioned. And I normally do that till sort of late afternoon, and then hop back on the computer and do emails and things.
Okay.
And then home,
yeah.
Back on my bike along the seafront.
And so, and then are you doing the packaging? Are you, like, wrapping things up?
Yeah, it's funny because I think a lot of people think that Little Deer, and I say we, but it's not, it's me.
I know, I was going to say,
it's me. It is me alone in the studio. Occasionally, as I say, friends come in and help, but I do everything from photographing to packaging things to, all the emails, customer service, everything,
Wow.
Yeah.
And you do the social media as well?
Yes, I do, yeah.
And what social media channels have you found have been, like, the best for you?
I really, really love, and I also think it's been very beneficial, Instagram.
Okay.
That's probably, I think, do you know, that's probably because I'm a visual person. So but I do think it's also one where we have the most interaction with our customers as well, which is nice. Yeah, so definitely Instagram.
And who are your customers? Like, you know,
they
what do you know about them?
They are predominantly young women.
Yeah.
So I would say sort of from the age of 15 to maybe 20, 25, 26, 27, mainly.
Yeah.
Obviously, it can be anyone.
And have you met them? Do you ever meet them?
Do you know that? Yes. So we do a market in London, in Hackney, Nettle Market, every Saturday. So I'm there, and it's great because obviously online, I can see stats, but I can't see what people are really saying about the product, yeah. or, you know, so it's great to do the market because I actually get to meet people, and it's so nice when they come over to the store and they know of Little Deer and they've seen us on Instagram or something, and it's nice to have a proper chat with some other customers.
Yeah, that's really nice. I think we would say the same here at ASOS, of being able to hear what people think and actually talk to them is really really nice. What do you do about like finding new designers to stock, because that with Little Deer, like, you've got like little brands as well as well as your own interiors thing. How did you ever find your first designer or first kind of brand to stock?
Oh, that's a good question. I can't remember how we found the first few, but generally blogs, very good, very helpful.
And did you contact them or did they?
It's normally, well, it used to be me sort of contacting people. Now what's really lovely, what's happened in the last year, is people are coming to me. One of our newest brands, Chloe Hall, she came to me and her stuff was perfect. It's really nice when that happens. But yeah, it's definitely blogs, social media as well. Instagram again is good for that, and then also magazines. Definitely.
And how does it work? So people will ask you if they can be, you know, sort of you to be stocked on your website. And obviously there's probably like similar to how we work at ASOS. It's like it's got to work for both sides.
Definitely.
But what is it that you think you can offer them that perhaps, you know, why don't they set up on their own, like set up their own website?
I think a lot of the brands do have their own website. But I think it's good for them to be... I feel like Little Deer is kind of a community. So it's nice for them to kind of sit alongside other brands, sort of on a shop that's a collection of things rather than just their brand standalone. And then also we really go hard on promotions and, you know, social media. And I think the social media part of Little Deer is one of the things I enjoy the most. And I think we're good at it. And I think that's why a lot of people... sort of say yes to being on Little Deer or contact us, because they, you know, they can see the Instagram and they can see how things are going with that. So
have you, so it sounds like it's all going really well, so I'm going to ask that question of have you ever had a disaster moment?
Yes.
Go on then, tell us a disaster
without
moment.
A doubt, I think whenever you have your own business there's always going to be those disaster moments. And probably about maybe a year and a half ago, I was doing Little Deer full time, and it wasn't going so great. There were some things that I was doing wrong that I can see now but didn't at the time, and I had to kind of swallow my pride, I guess, in a way, and I had to get a part-time job again, which was difficult. And I worked really hard because I was sort of working a part-time job and then kind of still almost doing full-time hours on Little Deer to try and get it back up again.
What was sort of one thing that you found that you perhaps were doing that maybe now looking back you wouldn't have done that way?
I think I went full-time into the business too soon. So I got really excited. I was like, this is amazing. I can take a wage from this properly. I can quit my part-time job. It's amazing. And I did that. I did it too soon. I got too excited too soon. So that's probably one of the main things that could have been done differently. But it worked itself out over sort of the space of 8 months. We're here now, and it's great.
Very well done. Have you had sort of any... You've mentioned to your mum in terms of telling her telling you to take some time off. And your dad saying, well, you should just do it yourself then. Have you had any other sort of like mentors? Are there any people that you kind of lent on for maybe it's business advice or help with the website or things like that?
Do you know, it's been mainly friends. So I have a couple of, definitely with the website, I have a couple of friends who helped that and sort of built the bulk of my website. My coding knowledge is minimal, so they helped a lot. And, you know, going back to the market and Nettle Market, the sort of young women that I trade alongside there are all incredible, and they, you know, there's a girl who sells jewellery, a lovely lady who sells lights, a girl who sells leather pieces, and all of them have something different to bring to the table. And it's
really nice
sometimes as well, after a week where maybe things haven't gone to plan, you kind of get together on Saturday and have a bit of a whinge, and then you kind of feel better, and somebody sort of drops in some sort of helpful advice, and that's probably one of my main...
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's like a little network of you
Definitely, yeah, it's lovely.
Oh, that's
so lovely.
And what is this what you always imagined your career to be? Did you set out to run your own thing?
Probably from the age of about 18, yeah. I think so, definitely.
So there's no temptation to go and work for someone else?
No, there really isn't. I just love what I do so much.
Yeah.
And if that ever changes, then, you know, so be it. But at the moment, take the highs with the lows. I really love it, yeah.
And what's been your, like, what have you been most proud of? Because, I mean, you've got some, you know, you're on Depop. Are you still on Depop?
Yeah,
you know, which is great. You know, you're sort of really... making waves, and obviously got some good brands. But what's been your proudest moment to date? Like, what was like a real like jump
That's
in the
a
air?
Very good question. Do you know, I can't think of a specific moment, but there are times where I sit back and I think, oh my goodness, I'm doing what I've always wanted to do. I've got my own little studio, a business. I'm working for myself. I think it's those moments where nothing really happens, but it suddenly hits me that I'm doing something that I've always really, really wanted to do.
Yeah.
I
have to say, I think the idea of having your own shop is really brilliant. Like, I've always worked in shops. Mm. I think that's, that's really good. what would you give, if you could give three pieces of advice to someone who's thinking of doing the same thing?
Okay,
You know, like setting up a shop or even actually just setting up their own business. So even if it was like to be a florist.
What were
the three bits of advice you would give to them for like their first year?
Okay, probably first bit is time management.
Right.
Manage your time well. and with that goes, you know, take a break every now and then. That's really important. The second thing is just do it. I speak to so many people who go to me, oh, I'm thinking of starting up this beauty brand or this blog. And, you know, they kind of faff. And I'm like, just do it. At the end of the day, you know, it's never going to be perfect. And I think that's a really important thing, is that no matter how much you strive for something to be perfect, 6 months down the line, you will have learnt new things and you'll be able to improve it.
Yeah.
So maybe with that comes number three, which is set deadlines. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, launch the website by this date. You know, obviously realistic deadlines.
Yeah.
But it's important just to get things done, because if you try and wait until you think everything is absolutely perfect, you're going to be, you know, 10 years down the line, you still won't have launched the website. Yeah. So just do it.
You trust it. What's the future for the little dare?
The future, well, hopefully, what would be lovely is making more of a little dare team and having some employees to help us make things, and then maybe help with social media and things like that. So I think sort of over the next few years, it's going to be working towards that mainly.
Do you have anyone? So you mentioned your friend comes in to cover holidays.
There's literally at the moment it's just me, and every now and then I have a friend or two that come in. Like when I sort of get a bit behind on things, they sort of come in and help out. But as for permanent staff at the moment, it's just me, and I would really like to have kind of more of a team to work together. So that's definitely the next step.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. Yeah, and more brands, or?
I think definitely we're always trying to kind of grow. We're still learning about what the little dear customer wants as well. Mm-hmm. So there's some brands that sort of join us and they're lovely, but they just don't work.
Right.
So we're definitely always trying to grow.
Yeah.
And as well with our interiors that we do ourselves, trying to kind of grow the collection and move forward with that constantly as well.
And is there anything that you've learned from, say, like working for yourself, working to make your company brilliant, that you've learned skills there that you can then apply to more of your personal life? Because I was just thinking, your point that, you know, there'll be some brands that don't quite work out.
Mm.
Now, those are conversations that you have to have, perhaps, you know, that aren't always easy. But are there things that you've then learned that you can then actually say, I'm even better now at negotiating for a better phone because, you know, I can have decent conversations or
bargaining
not?
Or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
I think so. Yeah, I think it all works towards, you know, I don't even really see Little Dear as my job. It's just a part of me. So it all kind of works. But going alongside that, you know, I do work occasionally with friends who have brands. There's I have a friend who makes jewellery, and I quite often trade festivals with her. And it's finding that balance between our friendship and being professional with her is definitely something that I've learned over the last few years.
Yeah.
And we do well, so.
So, yeah, because I've interviewed and spoken to girls who are friends, and then they've set up a company together.
Yeah.
And it's quite, you've got to sort of, you know, either work out those boundaries or the other option is you just spend each other's lives in each other's pockets the whole time and you accept that deal as well.
I don't think I could do that with someone. It's probably good I run the little deal by myself.
And how do you find time for your personal life? Like, you obviously, you just described the little deer as part of you, but is there a time when you can not think about it and switch off?
Well, there is a time, you know, I see friends a lot. I also like to keep fit and go running and cycling a lot. But it's hard because my phone's always on me, and, you know, the emails are pinging through. Yeah. You've had to say all this, that and the other. So it's very rare that I 100% switch off.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning to three emails because my phone was beeping. Yeah. So it is difficult to 100% switch off. I think that's when, you know, sort of the once a year holiday comes in to touch where you literally for a week phones off.
But, good idea. I had one last question which I wanted to ask because I read that you've moved your studio space recently this year.
Yeah, we did.
And then I was on Instagram. I saw this amazing picture of your desk. And I wanted to find out, and to anyone that's listening, have a look on the Instagram and you'll see it, this desk. It's immaculate. Is that what your desk looks like?
Yeah, honestly, really? It is. I'm not one of those people that move things around for Instagram. I photographed the studio for the Instagram exactly as it is. I am a person that my workspace has to be tidy.
Okay.
My bedroom's not always tidy.
Right.
My workspace has to be extremely tidy.
Wow. All I can say
yes.
is organisation. Your mind has to be so clear and focused because that desk is immaculate. It's amazing.
Thanks.
Anyway, Jade, thanks so much for coming in and telling us all about the little deer. It's lovely. So thanks.
Thank you.
That was Jade Golding and Her Big Idea. We do this podcast every week. You can tune in to find out and hear more from loads of girls who are doing great things and setting up their business all on their own. So don't forget to find us on Acast, iTunes, or your other favourite podcast app. See you soon.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.